Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, revisiting Mark's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Mark's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Mark, even though I read through Mark in 2020. The world has changed. I've changed, and so I expect my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying now. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me as we wonder about the earliest gospel. Yeah, it was written before Matthew, Luke, or John. I will do my best to keep my wonderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple of minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 2 weeks ago. So if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search Norm Seeley, N-O-R-M-S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me at the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, let's see what Mark's Gospel has to say this time. And today it's Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 20, which is going to be a little awkward for me because yesterday we read Mark 4, verses 1 to 19, and it was the parable of the sower. The sower throws seed on the path and on the rocky soil, the shallow soil, the good soil, all the soils. And I talked about parables as being dynamic teaching devices so that each of us hears a different thing and understands a different thing. And the story evolves with us in a sense, and we can see, we can gain wisdom from all different aspects of the story. As I say, I imagined myself as the soil, or as the sower, or as the seed, all those things, and new messages, new understandings come, and I love that. And I think that's why Jesus teaches in parables, is for that engagement. I talked about that yesterday. So now in Mark 4 verses 10 to 20. Jesus is sitting with the disciples and the apostles, and he tells them what the parable means, which kind of is at odds with what I said yesterday. So, am I wrong? Is Jesus wrong? Is Mark wrong? We'll wonder about that afterwards. But here it is. It's Mark 4, verses 10 through 20. When Jesus was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. He said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, they may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that's sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And those who are and the others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth, the desire for other things comes in and chokes the word, and it yields nothing. These are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. There we go. I apologize for sort of mangling the words in the middle there. I hope it came clear. I hope I corrected myself enough that you appreciated it. I guess I'm mangling it a little bit because I'm, even though I know it, I'm still taken aback by it. Not by that interpretation. That works perfectly for me. You know, understanding the parable that way, absolutely. I have experienced that. The people who never seem to have a chance at all, the ones who are really excited about it, but when the going gets tough, they back away right away. I'm into the faith as long as it's making me happy, but as soon as I have to do something that's difficult, I'm gone. I recognize that. I recognize the ones who flourish in the faith. They love it, but they can't let go of their other passions, their other needs, wealth, fame, all those kind of things. And then, of course, I do recognize the ones who, boy, they just seem to get it. You've got people like that in your life, I'm sure. You meet them, you just go, wow, she just gets it. Huh. I wish I could be like that. So I love that part of the parable. That works. The problem is that many people I know read this and say, there you go, Norm, that's what the parable means. So the parable becomes a riddle, not a teaching device, a puzzle. And that to me is not consistent with Jesus. The people say, well, you can't argue with it. I mean, it's in the Bible, it's in Mark, it's the earliest gospel, it's got to be right. But does it? Can I not argue with it? Can I not imagine a context where Mark or whoever wrote this gets it a little bit wrong? I mean, I know that the 12 and other disciples struggled sometimes with what Jesus would say, right? If you remember, we did John's Gospel when Jesus talked about being the good shepherd and leading people in and out of the gate. And they said, okay, no, never mind. Okay, you weren't getting that. Because he said that they could tell they weren't understanding. So he said, never mind. I am the gate. Oh, you're not the shepherd? No, I am the gate now. So even in John's Gospel, you can see that the disciples are working at it. It's not easy for them. And let's face it, parables, metaphors, they're not easy for everybody. Educators suggest that, that children under the age, I think it's under the age of 7, cannot conceive of a metaphor. So when you say it is like this, they don't get that. And I don't know how true that is. But I do meet people who just, oh man, just tell me what it is. Don't give me a metaphor. Then when someone says, well, religion, art, and science, they are all branches of the same tree. Wait a minute, art's not a tree. No, but it's a metaphor. No, but it's not a tree because trees, when they get old, they fall down, and art doesn't fall down, and I don't understand what you're talking about. That makes no sense. No, but what I want you to understand is that art and science and religion, in fact, are all combined. They may go off in different directions, but they have the same base, the same root. They're part of the same tree. Why didn't you just say that? Well, because I want you to think a little more dynamically about how they connect and what that all means, and I want to spark your imagination. Okay, I don't need imagination, Norm. Just tell me how it is. See, it seems to me that the author of this gospel is recalling a moment when people like to know how it is. Just tell me what it means, and I'm fine. See, the thing is, if Jesus wanted to tell you what it means, then Jesus could have just told you what it means. Jesus could simply have said, you know what? Some people get a raw deal, and other people get excited when the going gets tough, they're going to fade out on you. Don't be like those people. Be the one who is focused on the Word of God. And then 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, you're going to be fantastic. He could have said that, but he didn't. He engaged the imagination. So it seems odd to me that Jesus engages the disciples' imaginations and then in the next breath answers it all, shutting down their imagination. However, if this is, let's say, an introduction to parables, so Jesus is teaching in parables and his disciples, his followers are with him going like, we don't get it. Why don't you just tell people the way it is? And Jesus is saying, okay, I got you. But you see, what I want to do is I want to engage with people that they might look but not quite perceive, that they'll listen but not quite understand, and they'll work it out. And they'll spend some time with it. That's what I really want to do. So for instance, in this parable that I just told, you could see, right, that the sower sows the word, and so that's the word of God. And we're all soil. You are all soil, and some of you, oh, you won't listen at all. You're not at all. No. You are like the Pharisees and the scribes, and it just bounces off you. It doesn't take root at all. Satan just comes and takes that all away. Those other voices, those adversarial voices, the ones who offer alternatives all the time, they just take it away. Not a chance. Then they're ones who get real excited about it. But when the going gets tough, when faith isn't just about, you know, dinner parties, then they're there for, you know, for the party, but they don't want to be there for the work. That happens, you know. And then there are those who are really good at this, like some of you, but they don't want to quit the band. And they don't want to stop hanging out in the bars and doing those things. And not that those things are bad necessarily, but they are for some, because the band becomes more important than the Word of God. Making money becomes more important than loving your neighbor. And so they're perfect for the job, but they just won't let go of that stuff. They're the ones, those weeds, they choke them because they got to get out of the weeds. But you have the chance, because you're here with me right now. You've got the chance to just focus on the Word of God and let it go deep and let it go broad. And those are the roots you need. And that's part of what I meant. Oh, okay. So if this is an introduction to metaphors and parables and thinking imaginatively and laterally and all those things, that works. I want to imagine, however, that Jesus would have followed it up with, and another way to see this parable is that. And that doesn't make it into Mark's gospel. See, that would make me happy. But I appreciate that the gospel's not always about making me happy. I don't want to be, you know, the grain that's growing in the rocky soil. I'm all excited about it now, but as soon as it gets difficult, I don't want to read that part of the Bible. But I will take issue with it. And so I have to take issue with Jesus, or I have to take issue with Mark. And I'm choosing to take issue with Mark. Not just because, well, Jesus is Jesus, and I don't want to pick a fight with Jesus, but also because of what Mark has claims Jesus said. So the people are gathered around Jesus, and they say, so why do you use parables? And he says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, parables. In order, here's the quote, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. Now, what those words just said to me, and maybe there's another way to understand them, but those words on their own have just said, the kingdom of God is a secret. Now, Jesus goes and tells them to baptize the nations, to tell everybody. Jesus does not keep secrets. Jesus tells everybody everything. Love your neighbor, right? And so there isn't a love your neighbor, but wear a purple scarf. Like, there's no secrets when Jesus preaches anywhere else. But here, apparently, it's a secret. And so the parable is a way of keeping a secret, because unless you know the riddle, you can't figure out what it means. So I don't want them to understand, is what he's saying. And in fact, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. I'm giving you secret knowledge so that all those people out there won't be forgiven, won't be in their best relationship with God or with each other. I don't know that Jesus. That Jesus is not consistent with the Jesus of the other Gospels. It's not consistent with the Jesus in the rest of this Gospel, for goodness sakes. It seems to me that there was a moment that Mark or whoever shared this with Mark didn't understand. And they tried to make sense of it. Why does Jesus say things I don't get? Oh, man. Oh, it must be because it's secret. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you get inside, then you understand how it works. Right. First time you went to a Starbucks coffee, were you confused by grande, venti? What's a small, medium, large? They got a whole language. What do you mean? I just a small, medium, large. Jesus does not try to make things confusing. Jesus is not asking people to come and join a club to get secret knowledge. Jesus is telling people, it's there. I'm fulfilling the law. You already know what you need to know. And I'm just trying to help you be forgiven, be in your best relationship with God. So these words are very counter Jesus. But if I was a guy sort of in on the inside and I was struggling with parables, and I remember the time that Jesus taught us about a parable, I might focus on that one interpretation and suggest that, yeah, now I know, I've got it figured out. I know what parable is because Jesus taught me. It's kind of secret, but, you know, because, you know, special. That to me is not Jesus talking. That is somebody who was there and doesn't handle metaphors well and is trying to learn. You know what I'm saying? Religion, art, and sciences are branches of the same tree. What do you mean? Is it a tree? Yeah, no, it is. Science is a tree? So, like, everything is about trees? No. All science? Is the Big Bang a tree? No, that's not what we're saying. That's the person that I think we're dealing with. That's the person who's reflected in this gospel, not Jesus. But that's me. And you may have a completely different feeling about this. So I think I'm just going to let it there. This is a really short one today. Because obviously I'm disagreeing with Jesus. Or disagreeing with Mark. Or I'm just wrong. And it's for you to sort out where you fit in on this. What happens, you know, when we get something in the Bible that we don't understand or we disagree with the explicit purpose of the text? It explicitly says here, this is what the parable means. But I don't really think that's what's going on. What do we do in those cases? I know people who just, well, we just jump over them, pretend they're not there. We take those books out of the Bible. They're gone. We don't tell those stories anymore. I would rather embrace them and try to learn, but I don't know what I learned from this other than metaphors, parables are challenging for many people. Not because they lack the intelligence, but because it's not their leaning to think those lateral associations. There are artists in the world and engineers in the world, and most of us are combinations of both those things. Engineers can be brilliant artists, and artists can be great engineers. But engineers like a certain thing a certain way, and artists tend to wander off and do that. Parable brings both of those together. But right now, for me in this one, I'm hearing from the engineer, and I need to be aware of that when I am sharing my faith, when I am connecting with somebody who might be grieving or just needs something spiritual from me. As I get to know them, I start to understand, are they going to get parables? Or are they much better with, this is how it is? And I think faith can communicate through both. It's when we confuse them. Right? It's when we confuse them. The engineers get all, oh, for God's sake, just tell me what it means. And the artists are, why are you so narrow? Faith can be communicated to both, in fact, to all people. Just not always the same way to everyone all the time. Which brings me back around to why I love parables, because each of us hears them, perceives them, and interprets them in a different way. Anyway, you know what? Enough of that. I'm going to stop and simply offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for creative conflict. For misunderstanding that becomes understanding. Thank you for your word that emerges when we dare to question and dare to wonder. God, we ask that our wondering today bring us closer to you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that is enough for me today, so I will wish you a wonderful day, a day of wondering, and I hope that you come back tomorrow. So we'll see what happens next. See if I'm still, you know, arguing with Mark or not. Until I get to see you, God bless. So please know that God sees you and that God loves you. In a metaphorical way and in a very real way. Absolutely. Tell me what you mean, Norm. I mean God loves you and that God's love moves through you and into the world. So God bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow.